Dave and Darren with the Top 5 Things podcast. My name is Dave. This guy's Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello, friends.
And if you are a patron of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast.
Yes. Exciting news. Well, we had that short month in February, didn't we?
Yeah.
It took us by surprise.
I know. I can't believe it's March already. It's alarming. But here we are. But the February patron show we expect will drop on Thursday of this week. So if you're a patron,
yes,
that exclusive content is coming your way.
Your February.
For sure, before the end of the week.
Patron podcast.
Yeah, yes. The February one comes this week. We should just roll into the top five things.
Let's,
yeah?
Let's do this thing.
And we'll get started with number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Have you ever found yourself in this situation? You send a text to someone and you realize as soon as you hit send, oh no, I sent that text to the wrong person.
Yeah.
It's happened to me a couple of times.
I mean, usually I've never had anything disastrous.
Well, because you and I follow the rule of you don't send an email or a text to anyone that you wouldn't expect to broadcast to the entire world, right?
Like you. I don't know about that.
Well, but if you're texting somebody something that's particularly salacious, you double check to make sure that it's the person that you intend to send it to. I'm telling you, I've done it enough times where I've sent a text to the wrong person.
Because I've sent stuff to you that wasn't intended for you. And I'm pretty sure that even if it was something that was kind of monstrous,
here's the, but
I could you could understand.
No, but here's the thing. I could text you. And I have a relationship built on all the years.
Yeah.
There's nothing you or I could text each other that would disappoint the other fellow.
No.
But if there are certainly texts that I have sent you that if I were to send to somebody else, would not be received as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, anybody that I would send, a text to that was only for someone's eyes and it got to somebody else, I could explain it.
Right. And then you have to immediately, because...
Not for you.
When you're sending a text to somebody and it's not for them, you have to immediately follow up with a text of, sorry, that's actually meant for somebody else. Sorry, I texted you. That doesn't make any sense. There's a story here of a woman who was talking to some guy on Bumble, which is a dating app.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she'd been talking to this guy. Her name's Samantha. His name is Jake. They met on Bumble. And
now Bumble's for who?
Is
that a specific?
I would assume that Bumble is how you hook up with a bee. I don't know. What is Bumble exactly?
It's not necessarily specific.
It's a dating app for bees. How is Bumble different from Tinder?
And maybe it's not.
Is it the same thing? You have to be on more than one. Bumble, it says here, is a online dating application. Profiles of potential matches are displayed to users who can swipe left to reject a candidate or swipe right to indicate interest.
Now, see, a mistake could be made there, too. Right?
Oh, I'm sure.
I didn't mean to swipe that way.
Oh, yeah, I bet you have to... Right. I bet there's a lot of, no, your other right going on.
Now, when you get...
Swipe your other right.
Now, when you get rejected, do you get notifications for that? Is it just a constant...
I think the way it works
hold
is...
Hold on a second. I got to check my... Yeah, that's another no.
My understanding of how these things work is you just wouldn't have any...
No, I think...
Any matches.
Wait a minute. Let me take a look. Oh, boy, that's a lot of no's.
The way... Okay.
Well, it's, at least I'm... I better take this.
I guess the way what differentiates Bumble, I'm finding out, from Tinder is, and maybe Tinder's the same way, but this seems like this is the angle of Bumble. In heterosexual matches, only female users can make the first contact with matched male users.
And that's different than Tinder?
I'm guessing. Like Bumble, like she's the queen of the hive. Is that what the deal is?
Oh, queen bee.
Right. Does that make sense? That Bumble would be different in that women have a little bit more control over...
Hold on a second. I just got another alert. Let me take a look. Okay, that's another no. Okay. Boy, they seem like they're piling on today.
Another alert. That's another no.
Boy.
Oh, let me see. Oh, no, that's not kind. Oh, another one. No, thanks.
Somehow I've got more no's than the number of people that are on Bumble.
That's not great.
No, it's like, they say here that they got 2 million people on Bumble, uh-huh. And I've got documentation that I've got 4 million no's.
People are
people are coming back a second time to say no. Is that necessary? Wouldn't you think that once you say no, it just kind of gets rid of you
for them
to consider? Some people are piling on and rejecting me more than one time.
Oh, I got a push notification. What does this say?
Hold on a second. I'm starting to...
Come on now.
No, I'm starting to recognize these names.
Tinder uses your profile with your photo and a short bio and a list of interest. Tinder uses a double opt-in system where both users have to match before they can talk to each other.
Okay.
Bumble, the woman has to, if it's a heterosexual relationship, the woman has to initiate the response. That's why you would be on Tinder or Bumble.
Hold on a second. Let me take this. I got a notification. Huh. Okay. Well, now they're adding comments. Some of these are hurtful. These people are just taking shots.
They're
at
going
me.
Out of their mind, out of their way to tell me that they don't care for me.
Yeah.
Samantha gets this message from a guy named Jake. She meets him on Bumble, and then they move the conversation from Bumble to text messaging.
Okay? Yep.
And things started to be heating up as he is just laying on the compliments.
Oh.
Just telling her what a
striking.
I know. What a stunning.
Why are you even on this platform?
Right.
What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
What's the problem here?
He's laying it on.
Hold on a second. I got another notification.
Oh, no. Well, that seems hurtful.
Wow.
Jake writes in the text, he says, yeah, because they were talking about a date that they were going to go out on. And Jake says, yeah, I can't wait to meet you. You're beautiful. Would seven-ish work? And she responds via text, thank you, that's sweet. Yeah, that should be fine. I'll be coming straight from work, so you have to look past my work uniform, he says to her.
He says that to her.
She says, thank you, that should be fine. He says, I'm coming straight from work, so you're going to have to look over the fact that I'm wearing my work uniform.
Uh-huh.
And then she responds, ha-ha, no worries. I'm in scrubs, so I understand. Right? This is going great. And then he says... I'm sure you'll look beautiful either way. I'm a lucky guy to get to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is...
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I just got another one. Wait, now these things are starting to show up in foreign languages.
This is not cool. Please quit. How
do I turn this off?
No!
These things are coming from the other side of the world now.
Yeah, I'm sure you look beautiful either way. I'm a lucky guy to get to take you out. That was the last text. And then he gets another text.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, he meant to text one of his buddies.
Yeah.
But he texted her.
And what did he say?
It's a picture of her in a bathing suit.
Ah.
And he writes to his friend here, quote, no, bro. She's a solid 4, and I will sure keep it on the low, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and beggars can't be choosers. All I saw was boobs and an easy lay.
Wow.
So he's talking about her
to
his buddy, who he is sending the picture of her in her bathing suit to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is.
Oh, that's my sense of humor. You'll have to get used to that.
So then he realizes that that's what he sent to her.
Uh-huh.
And now he's got to try and clean this
up. Backtrack, yeah.
Uh-huh. He says here, damn, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to send you that. I was talking about someone else and clicked your picture on accident. My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a solid 4. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, as you can imagine, they did not go on that date. That would be the end of it. He is talking about her, calling her a solid 4.
Welcome to March Madness. You've made it to the final 4.
I think he's talking on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, well, that's how you spin it.
No, I was talking about someone else.
You made it to the... you're probably going to make it to the national championship.
Oh, so you were talking about someone else that's a solid 4 in an easy lay. Okay. Yeah, this is a...
Oh, well, that explains everything.
I could... I'm excited about our date. Yeah, it ended up not happening.
Hmm.
She went in... she went on and posted her story about this guy on TikTok. And now that it's gone viral...
Yeah. She's getting a lot of traction.
He texted her again.
Oh, no.
And he says, so you're just going to not show for a date and then make a TikTok about me?
Yeah.
And then he says here, it was a joke, but I should have picked up that you were crazy when you said you fostered kids.
What?
You can't get a man, so you get a bunch of broken little kids to fill that void.
Oh, boy.
Jake is a bad guy.
He's history's greatest monster.
Hold on, I just got another notification.
Why do these things keep coming in?
This one from the space station. No. Weightlessness, Jesus.
I just got
a rejected from the space station.
Weightlessness. Oh, Jesus.
William Shatner
just said no.
Is saying no to me.
God.
This day can't get any worse.
Oh, I'm going to need a little fresh air.
Number two.
Woman loses her iPhone on Halloween. I could see how that happens. Mm-hmm. The problem is it happened in Halloween in 2012. At some point on Halloween night, 2012, Becky Beckman. Stop the press. Who is that? Becky Beckman, who lives in Maryland, she hadn't thought about her iPhone since she lost it
on the night of
Halloween in 2012. Yes,
she thought about it for a while, but she finally gave up.
At some point, you gotta
move on.
Move on. Now, it's worth pointing out, she didn't misplace. When you hear someone loses their phone on Halloween, you might jump to the conclusion that I did, that she was probably out partying, right?
Yeah, you had a costume on, you had pockets you weren't used to.
Right. She was not partying that night. Didn't go out anywhere where it could have been stolen.
Not trick-or-treating.
No. It's just a quiet night in the house. So the iPhone vanished into thin air.
Spooky.
Right? It's... Where could it have gone?
Jesus. It's like it just vanished.
Into thin air. Like it was weightless.
Yeah.
Well, she puts in this post on Friday how she replaced the iPhone, moved on, whatever.
Yeah, probably has had several phones since then.
Yeah, 2012. She says it was mysterious, but it was gone. And then in an incredibly bizarre twist of events, there was an issue with the toilet this week that ended up solving the nearly 10-year-old mystery.
Uh-huh.
The husband, Mr. Beckman, says...
I knew it was you. I knew it was you, Beckman. I knew it.
Oh, here we go.
Right.
Becky says the couple started to hear this banging sound whenever they would flush the toilet.
Uh-huh.
She says initially we blamed it on the toilet being old
or
the house construction being terrible. So Mr. Beckman, the husband, has had enough, and he decides, you know what? I am going after this with a plunger.
I'm
going
to figure this out.
Exactly. And after a while, She says he came running outside to tell her he wouldn't believe, or she wouldn't believe,
what I found.
What he found in the toilet.
Oh, God, I don't want to know.
You never want to hear somebody say you're never going to believe what I
found in the toilet. Is this feeling
something real? By now, you've put together that it was, in fact, the old iPhone that was somehow lodged in the pipes. She says, this was so far from what I was expecting.
What were you expecting, Anaconda?
I don't see how it's possible to flush an iPhone down the toilet. And there are some people that are skeptical, saying, how could you have not had any clogging in 10
right.
years?
Yeah, exactly.
As someone posting here, my townhouse gets one baby wipe in its pipe, and I get all the neighbors' turds in my laundry room.
Nice. Let's clean up the talk, okay? Okay. I mean, that's enough with the turd talk, okay?
Watch your profanity.
Come on. This is no time for turd talk, okay?
Someone says there's no way it was stuck in your toilet for 10 years and never caused an issue until it started making a sound.
You would think that would be quite a blockage.
Yeah. I'm looking here at a picture. It looks like it's her husband wearing a glove, holding the iPhone.
It's a leather glove.
Dangling it. It's a plastic glove. He's dangling it over the toilet. And I mean, I guess I could see.
I've got a leather glove.
I wear this. This has nothing to do with the toilet story. I'm a falconer, as you know. I like to.
Originally, it wasn't an iPhone, believe me.
So people wondering how this is possible. Again, no understanding how it got flushed down the toilet.
But let's say that it was that it did happen.
Yeah.
Does that remind her of what she did?
Doesn't sound like it.
Just like.
No. She says she was just surprised.
So you had it in a pocket. You went to the bathroom and it just fell in there, huh? And you didn't notice it.
Not until they heard a banging sound whenever they would flush the toilet. Something had apparently knocked the iPhone into a place where it's just starting to make noise after being in there for 9.5 years. It just seems there's something else going on here, right? Because that would have caused. If there are any plumbers listening, and I have to assume there are. The phone looks very damaged. I mean, it certainly looks like it's been underwater for 10 years. So there is that. I'm looking at the photo of the iPhone, and it looks like it's, yeah. And it also looks like it's seen some stuff, man.
You think you have a crap job?
I think they did their best to kind of clean it up before they posted this picture, but there's only so much you can do.
Smell the phone.
Number three.
Monday morning, we'd like to give you a review of some advice columns, people asking for advice. This one, oh boy. Am I wrong to call my friend an idiot because he thinks his girlfriend might not be the biological mother of the baby she's carrying? He wants a maternity test. Am I wrong to call him stupid?
Stupid! You're so stupid!
My friend Dan recently found out he might be a father.
Uh-huh.
I say might because the girl he's been having an on-off relationship with, Kara, uh-huh, is pregnant, and he's not sure if he's the dad.
Okay.
She offered to get a paternity test once the baby is born, and doesn't expect any kind of support until they find out if the baby is his.
Yeah.
He's on board with that and appreciates the way that she's not pushing him into fatherhood if the baby isn't his.
Uh-huh.
The issue is that when he was talking to me about it, he also said he wants to get a maternity test done to make sure the baby is hers.
Uh-huh.
Kara is visibly pregnant.
Yeah.
We know she's pregnant because she did a maternity photo shoot and posted it on social media, so it's obvious she's not faking being pregnant.
No.
We've both seen her in person, too. I tried to explain to him that that's not how biology works.
Yeah.
Unless she got an embryo implanted in her, then she's definitely the mother. She's a waitress and works for minimum wage plus tips. So I doubt she has the money to afford an embryo implantation.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's ridiculous to think that she'd do all that just to baby trap a guy who's currently unemployed and living with his parents at the age of 32. Plus, he's never donated sperm. He's genuinely convinced that the baby might not biologically be hers. Despite the fact that myself, his mother, and all of our other friends keep explaining to him that's not how pregnancies or babies work.
Mm-hmm.
But he is still insisting on a maternity test and told me I was being ridiculous and that I'm the one who doesn't understand biology.
Can't talk him out of it, huh?
This is despite the fact that I am studying to be an autopsy pathologist, which has required quite literally years of biology classes. I got fed up and called him a senseless idiot and told him that he should call me when he gets his head screwed back on straight. Mm. Ever since then, he's been spamming my phone and has even got a...
Spamming your phone? What?
He's even gotten a couple of our friends to spam me as well, telling me I'm being insensitive and that he's just stressed out about possibly being a dad. So am I a jerk for calling my friend an idiot? No, I think we can all say with some clarity that your friend is the idiot.
But he has talked some of his other friends into coming after you, huh?
That seems...
That's quite a League of Nations there. Yeah.
How about this one? Should I continue to tolerate my boyfriend's gushing on social media about how much he still loves his ex-wife?
Oh, boy.
My boyfriend and I have been dating seriously for 2 years. He was previously married for 25 years.
Mm.
He and his ex-wife divorced 9 years ago and have 2 adult children. They have a great relationship, but I dislike his frequent posts on social media that reminisce about falling in love with her, what she was wearing the first time he saw her, for instance, and how much he loves her still. These posts often include hearts and kissing emojis. I told him these posts are hurtful to me,
but
he says he's free to post anything he wants on social media. He also says he loves me, and that's all that matters. Any thoughts? The advice columnist here says the bigger concern is you're involved with a man who believes his social media freedoms are more important than your very reasonable feelings.
Yeah.
I'd go along with that one.
Yeah. Cut it or...
Uh-huh.
Cut it or cool it.
Mm-hmm. This one I think you'll have a unique perspective on, Darren. Am I being unreasonable not to want my in-laws to bring a sick puppy that isn't housebroken into my home? My sister-in-law, Sally, recently got a puppy mill puppy who immediately presented with a host of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Worms, cough, you name it. He's about 4 months old now. After spending thousands of dollars in vet bills, he's allegedly fine. But it was so much work that my sister-in-law, Sally, who's 30 in her 30s and not attached, had to move back home with her parents for help. My mother and father-in-law were scheduled to visit my family. We have 4 kids under 6 and a dog. They want to come next weekend, and they just informed us that Sally's coming too, and she'll be bringing the puppy, and isn't that great? My husband immediately questioned the health of the dog, and it was waved off. I then said, look, I'm not comfortable with a dog who's still so young, who was so recently so sick, vomiting just 2 weeks ago, being both near my dog and my very young kids, not to mention the fact that the dog's not housebroken, chews, and bites like all puppies do. We have a dog that goes absolutely insane around other dogs. My twins are 1 and can't walk. They spend all of their time on the floor. My mother-in-law is livid, saying it's only because I don't like Sally, my sister-in-law, which, by the way, is true. We have a long, contentious history.
Yeah.
And if the dog can't come, then neither can Sally.
Yeah. No, if you don't want the dog in the house, you don't have to have the dog in the house. It sounds like Sally needs to stay at home with the dog.
Right. She also says the new dog is part of our family, and I'd better get used to it.
Which is true.
That is also true. Am I being unreasonable here? We've never allowed guests with dogs. The idea of them staying at a hotel was written off.
Yeah. No.
And the dog is too young and too sick to be boarded.
Yeah, needs to stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
With her owner.
This was an advice columnist in the Washington Post. And that columnist, Carolyn Hack, says, this is not even a question. Your no dogs policy with guests is not up for debate. Your home, your rules.
Yeah.
One last one here. Why did the married colleague I've been dating cheat on me with our other colleague?
Oh, boy. You're wanting to know why?
Hang on a second. Huh. Why is it?
Why did that happen?
I've been dating a married woman for 7 months.
Uh-huh.
She's told me many times that she and her husband are trying to split amicably, but they have two children, so just leaving isn't an option.
Yeah.
She says she's in an open marriage.
Yeah.
Recently, she told me a guy at our workplace told her friend that he likes her.
Uh-huh.
I've asked her not to talk to him outside of
work.
Don't
talk to him.
Because it's disrespectful to me. Then she got mad at me and told me that we need to take a break.
Yeah.
A few days later, a group of us went out socializing. She sat next to me, telling me how much she loves me. But I glanced over and saw that she was trying to hide her phone. Well, lo and behold, I see she's sending provocative photos and texting the man in question, the guy I already asked her not to speak to. I gave her a few choice words and left. Now we're at the point she has blocked my number and won't talk to me and has told everyone in the office that I went psycho on her.
Yeah, psycho.
So now, of course, I'm the bad guy.
So my question is...
Because she's very well liked by our coworkers. You know, I don't really care what my coworkers think of me. I'm just dumbfounded as to why she would treat me this way.
Why did this happen?
Was she using this as an excuse to be with other people? I have told her countless times, if she wanted to see other people, she was free to do so, but I would not be a part of that. She denied that she wanted to be with other people. She said she loved me and only wanted to be with me. I am struggling.
You are.
To get over her.
Struggling.
You are struggling.
Did she ever love me? Why would she act like this? Any advice for me?
I'd love to hear what they have to say.
Well, this is an advice columnist in the Washington Post.
This ain't love, friend.
You seem like an interesting cat. Here's what the Washington Post advice columnist had to say. First, an observation. Your workplace sounds like a middle school whirlpool. Yeah. Keep going. Give him more.
Finish him.
With all the romantic and sexual intrigues swirling around you, it's a wonder you employees are getting any work done. Your former girlfriend...
Who says we are?
Work done.
Work? Who says...
I'm just here for the sexy time with the married coworkers.
We didn't say we were getting any work done.
Your former girlfriend is a player, it says, and players gonna play. Did she love you? Well, that depends on how you define love.
Mm-hmm.
If love is a long-standing, monogamous, and compassionate commitment to another person, then no, she may not be capable of that. If love is hooking up with one person until another person notices her in the cafeteria, then yes, she loved you for a while. You obviously expect monogamy, but you don't get that kind of commitment with someone who doesn't do monogamy, and she obviously doesn't do monogamy. For proof, just look at her marriage. My advice for you is to put your head down, get your work done, and when you're emotionally ready, use the lessons learned here to move on with a wiser, hearty, and healthy vengeance.
Good luck.
Sounds like...
So they're saying I should seek revenge. No, but we didn't say revenge.
You have not... Well, she does say revenge here. It does sound like he didn't get his question answered. Why did this happen?
How could this happen?
Why did this happen? Did she ever love me? You, person at the newspaper, fill me in. Let me know. It's not me, right?
Now it's just getting sad.
Number four.
Report of the week has...
Yes.
Has done a taste test of the new Coca-Cola that is rumored to taste like outer space.
And what's it called again? Like Spotlight?
What is it called?
Sunlight?
People say it tastes like s'mores.
Right.
The new Coca-Cola...
But it's got a...
Yeah, the new flavor.
Starlight?
Is that what it's called? Star? No, they don't call it Starlight, do they?
It's inspired by the taste of space.
That's what they say, yeah. The new Coca-Cola flavor is called Starlight.
It is Starlight.
Yes.
Okay.
And Report of the Week does a taste test. More on that later on in the show.
Okay.
I'm doing a tease.
Yeah,
I think I'm just going to give you that now. You're nuts. You got gold like that, you hold on to it.
I don't know. Have we ever had him review
a beverage?
A beverage?
Not to my knowledge.
No, I don't think so either.
Not to my knowledge.
Because he's always just gulping down half a sandwich like a... not unlike an otter himself.
Well, what I'm curious to find out, and we'll find out a little bit later on in the show, does he drink the Starlight out of the can, or does he pour it in the goblets that are there in his...
Do you think the goblet might influence the taste?
Oh, we'll find out.
Do you think he uses a straw? I just can't imagine...
we have so many questions.
I just can't imagine him just opening a can of soda and drinking out of
like
it.
Like a human being?
Yeah, right. That just doesn't seem like anything he would do.
I picture him...
You know how people open a can of something?
Yeah.
And then just drink it?
Right.
He couldn't possibly do that, could he?
I haven't watched it yet, but I'll tell you, this is what I assume is going to happen, and this is just based on all the evidence of being one of his biggest fans. I think what'll happen is he will take the Starlight Coca-Cola,
mm-hmm.
he will pour it in the goblet.
Yes.
He will then put the goblet on the floor. He will then put himself in a harness and hang upside down. And just dart his tongue out at it like a bat.
No.
Eating a grape.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
That is going to happen.
But I think it's... I think there is the distinct possibility.
Yeah.
I think there's the distinct possibility that he does pour the soda
mm-hmm.
into the goblet, of course, to yeah. let it breathe.
Let it breathe. The Starlight Coca-Cola.
And then he pulls out a straw mm-hmm. to put in the goblet.
Yeah.
But the straw is not like in paper or anything.
Mm.
He like it comes out of like a satchel or
It'll
something.
It'll be some sort of telescoping straw that he always keeps on him. He'll be
right.
Zoop, zoop, zoop. It'll just get longer and longer.
That comes in its own case.
Now you're talking. Well, we'll find out a little bit later on what he thinks of the Starlight Coca-Cola.
I have to imagine if it tastes like s'mores.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's going to confuse his taste buds and his sensibility?
I mean,
it'll just throw him off.
He might not recover from this. If you thought the spicy chicken sandwich
he
was
might
something
not,
else.
He might not need to go to the ER like with the Diablo Dare.
Right.
But he might need to go see like a psychiatrist.
He just needs a moment to process what happened.
What's going on in my world?
Hey, as long as we're talking about outer space, Darren.
Mm-hmm.
Today, March 1st, is the day that the Star Wars Galactic Cruiser is open. The Galactic Cruiser. Are you familiar with this bit? This is something they have down in Florida. It's a hotel that you stay in for 2 days, and you're supposed to pretend you're on a spaceship cruising the galaxy in the Star Wars world. Have you heard anything about this?
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. This is a thing. The Galactic Cruiser. They invited a bunch of influencers and TikToker people to come and do a review, and as of today, you can pay to go on Star Wars Galactic Cruiser. I say go on like it's a ride. It's not. It's a 2-day stay at a hotel. Billed as the ultimate immersive Star Wars experience. When you stay there, you're encouraged to dress up in your Star Wars costumes. and you will take part in special missions and enjoy an excursion to the planet Batu.
And where is this again?
At Disney World.
Disney World.
Yes.
Is that where you're going?
I'm going to Disney World, but I will not be doing this.
Why not?
I'll explain why not in a moment.
Because of the cost.
You're damn right, because of the cost.
What do they want?
Florida.
It's a two-day experience?
Two-day experience for two adults, the starting price,
$5,000. Boy.
Yeah.
Per person?
That's for two adults.
Two adults for 2 days.
It's just, and then this seems like a weird price option here. It says for three adults and one child, it's $6,000. Three adults and one child.
Who are you bringing with you?
What is that? Someone explain that to me. Three adults and one child. I would think two adults and two children or three children would make more sense.
Right.
Yeah. Reviews so far are generally positive, although they handpicked the people that were going to come and review this thing. People say the character actors carry the experience. So when you're there in this starship, which they say is basically like this massive windowless bunker where everybody pretends they're on a spaceship, the idea is you're on a cruise ship, but it's in the Star Wars universe. And then everyone on board is acting like they're on the Star Wars mission together. The hotel itself is called the Halcyon. It's supposed to be a luxury cruise ship in space. The biggest complaint is that the rooms are small and cramped.
Mm.
Standard rooms have a queen bed, bunk beds, and an additional pull-out sleep space.
Couldn't you just say that that's the way it is in Star Wars?
Well, that's what they're saying. That, you know, it's supposed to be like you're on a cruise ship in space.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to feel like a hotel room.
That's how we get away with that.
There are no typical amenities. Like, there's no pool. There's no spa. The bathroom only has one sink. It's meant to feel like you're on a cruise ship. Here's one reviewer that says the Halcyon's interior scale doesn't match up to the grand ship shown in the marketing materials. I expected the atrium to be taller, the banquet hall to be wider. Liminal spaces like hallways and stairwells feel particularly sterile, like wandering around a suburban junior high school built in the mid-1970s. The staterooms are also entirely too small, falling somewhere in between the narrow cabins of a Disney cruise ship and a basic hotel room at a Disney World resort hotel. The lack of windows for some may add to a sense of claustrophobia.
But that's what you paid for.
Welcome to Star Wars. You can't leave Star Wars.
Are you getting the claustrophobia yet?
They're coming for you, Barbara.
That's good. That means it's working.
If you need fresh air, you can visit an outdoor space called the Climate Simulator. Reporters from
Does that cost extra?
For fresh air? Reporters from the YouTube channel Disney Food Blog, which has nearly 800,000 subscribers, were invited to the media preview, and they say, quote, Disney went all in on experience that seemingly puts only the wealthiest guests inside a windowless bunker for two full days. Most reviewers agree that guests will be spending minimal time in their room anyway. That's what they're saying. You shouldn't be spending time in your room. You should be doing things like lightsaber training and doing rendezvous, and there's all kinds of entertainment for you to partake in. You need to download an app for your smartphone to chat with characters on board, and then you get missions and you learn what your storyline is. You really have to be someone who's willing to go out and play pretend with strangers. If you're an introvert Star Wars fan, this probably isn't the sort of thing you'd want to do. I don't think I could put up with pretending I was in Star Wars for 2 days. I think I'd lose my mind after 30 minutes of this. It's not for everybody, but for the people that it's for, I guess it's a lot of fun.
Speaking of positive reviews.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Mediacom commercial where they're talking to people who work at Mediacom? They start off with like a young lady in customer service, and she's talking about how every call she takes is a positive response.
You're kidding me.
It's like, what? So what you're saying is that you work in customer service. Doesn't even matter what company it is. Doesn't matter. But you're saying that the only people that call are to tell you how great everything's going? That's, everything's working great?
That's, you're making that up.
No. And then they, and then they're talking to some technical guy, and he's like, it works all the time. It's always working.
It works MediaCom.
It works all the time.
Really?
Yeah, 99.99% of the time it's working.
Really?
I mean, that's a high threshold. But the idea that doesn't matter what company, what business it is.
Right.
Customer service, the only people calling.
Listen, all anybody wants
are to tell you.
All anybody wants to do for about anything is complain.
Even if it is working.
Right.
Even if it is working, all they want to do is call and bitch.
I work in customer service, and it's a dream job because it's just phone calls all day long. People tell me how great we are.
All day long. All day long, they're just telling me how great everything is. That, everything's working fine.
That can't possibly be a real commercial. I don't get a... Here's the thing. I don't see MediaCom commercials because I don't have MediaCom. Mm. MediaCom's number one client for commercials is MediaCom. Right, well, they're true. Always running their own ads.
Well, yeah, because they can for free.
Right. So since I don't have it, I don't get to see these. But I would like to very much see this because what you're describing.
Only calls we take are positive ones. It's like I don't see how that's possible.
No, that's not tethered to any sort of reality.
I mean, we realize what kind of monsters people are, right?
Yeah. No, that doesn't make. That doesn't make a lick of sense.
Five.
Number five.
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. New Jersey man's out eating with his wife there at their favorite restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're big seafood lovers.
Sure.
They're at a place called the Lobster House in Cape May, New Jersey. And inside one of the raw clams he ordered, a discovery was made. A large pearl said to be worth thousands of dollars.
He's eating raw clams, huh?
Yeah. I guess, is that something you can do?
Well, it's typically people eat raw oysters more than raw. I mean, you can eat a raw clam.
Uh-huh.
But it's a raw clam is going to be a little more bait-like.
Okay.
Than an oyster.
More like chum?
Yeah.
I don't know. Eating raw clams, you know what that sounds like to me.
I gotcha.
Good way to get
diarrhea.
Michael and Maria Spressler were dining at their favorite restaurant there, the Lobster House. Michael ate the last of his dozen clams. Ooh. On the half shell.
Boy, that's a lot.
When he felt something hard in his mouth. Ooh. He says, I thought one of my molars cracked.
Yeah.
They were shocked when Michael spat out this pearl. His wife says, he's eaten dozens and dozens of clams, and we've never found anything like that.
It's all he eats. I mean, he's...
At this point, he's more clam than man.
He's more otter than man.
He likes to break the clams on his belly. He smashes them with a rock and then lays on his back. It's weird, especially when we're at the Lobster House. Spresslers have been eating at the Lobster House for 34 years, and they say they've never, ever heard of anyone finding a pearl in their clams.
And it's mine.
An employee there at the restaurant says that the discovery is extremely rare. She says, I've worked here for 10 years now, and I've never heard of anyone finding one in one of our oysters or our clam shells. The research that they've done indicates that the pearl could be worth thousands of dollars, but they don't want to sell it. Maria, the wife, says, I would like to have it set in a nice piece of jewelry, maybe a mermaid or something nautical. It's a beautiful remembrance of that day, and what we have is so
special. The day you were eating clams?
What a magical remembrance this is of the day you thought you cracked your molar. Well,
what a beautiful moment.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about selling this pearl. We have such a sentimental attachment to, you know, that time that...
When are you not eating clams, it sounds like?
Such a magical memory. I don't. Oh, I wouldn't. I wouldn't dream of selling it.
I wouldn't dare.
It's our special moment.
I smell like the ocean.
I thought I cracked a molar because I do that a lot. Very often I use my teeth to open up the clams. And the dentist says, I'd save a fortune if I just use utensils. But where's the joy in that? Where's the romance?
Sometimes I'll bite my tongue while I'm eating clams because I can't tell the difference between the two.
You can't stop him. He's too insane.
Yes.
I just get so worked up.
I get so geared up.
Oh, it's something else on the ride over. It's like he can't even focus on the road. He just gets so distracted by the thought of clam munching.
I'm going to cannonball a dozen clams as soon as I get there.
As soon as he gets home from work, he just gets this look in his eyes. And all he says is clam, 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 clam.
He just goes into his clam zone.
We call it a case of the clams, and he's got it bad.
It's almost as you can watch his eyes. It's as if they develops cataracts.
The kids have come up with a 5-tier warning system. They call it Def Clam 5. When he's at Def Clam 1, Katie, bar the door.
Uh-huh.
He's clamming.
Oh, he's already clamming.
He's clamming like there's no tomorrow. Well, that's a nice story that they'll have a nice remembrance of.
He says, if you're not clamming, you're not trying.
They'll have a nice remembrance of the time they went out to eat at a place they've been eating all the time for 34 years. But this night was different.
A guy that goes through 50 pounds of clams a week.
You know, I told him, we could sell this pearl, but you would just spend the money on more clams. You know, you're right, dear. That reminds me, I'm a little peckish myself. Fix me some clams, damn it. Clam it? He just starts to introduce the word clam into his regular vocabulary in places where it doesn't. Like he's one of the Smurfs. I'll ask him how his day was at work, and he'll say, well, it was a clam one today. We had to clam the clam, and then the next thing you know, clam and clam.
Don't pearls come from oysters? Not clams.
Well, that's why I was going to ask, because I felt silly. The restaurant employee at the Lobster House says, I've never heard of one finding one in our oysters or our clam shells. And I was going to ask you, I thought it was just an oyster thing, but I guess it's also clams?
I don't think so. I think it's just
oyster. Well, how the hell does a pearl end up in a clam then? That doesn't make any sense. Does it?
I don't think it does.
Well, if you really got to... No, the pearls have to come out of clams too, because otherwise what this guy has is some sort of incredible event. Pearls are found inside living shelled mollusks.
All right,
so.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, as usual, I had a blast. Thanks.
It looked like you were having a good time.
I genuinely was. Thanks for listening to the Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for subscribing to it, downloading it. You've obviously listened to the whole thing by now, so that was pretty big of you.
Pretty boss.
Yeah, let people know what you think of the podcast by leaving reviews whenever you get a chance.
That would be nice.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.